Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. So glad that you tuned into the program. I'm proclaiming to you a series about what really matters. Let me share with you the gospel from Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand, and he will place the goats on his left. I hope you can use your religious imagination on this one. This is the judgment, the final judgment, and this is what really matters. We are all heading toward this. And I, as a Catholic priest, whatever denomination you belong to or don't belong to, I want to make sure that you get ready. I used to work with my dad, and my dad was a carpenter. This is in my teenage years and after high school, and in the summers I would work with him on the job. And he was very meticulous, especially when it came to building the foundation of the house. We would dig the trenches, and then we'd get out the plumb bobs and the surveying tools and the machines and the different things. And I would be there, you know, always measuring it. And it was amazing how meticulous he would be, exacting he would be. Finally, you know, after a little while, I'd be looking at my watch and going, you know, Dad, I'm getting hungry. I want to go to lunch. And he'd say, just wait, we got to get this right. And we would build that foundation precisely, exactly right. Why was that? Because my dad knew, as you probably know, that if the foundation is out of kilter, if it's out of whack, then the whole house is going to be out of kilter and it will not stand. That's exactly why Jesus preached about foundations, and he said, build your house on rock. This is what really matters. So when the storm comes and the wind blows and the water rises, your house will stand because it's built on rock. And so Jesus taught about foundations, the foundation that is the gospel. And he talked about what really matters, and it's having a firm foundation. What really matters is knowing the truth. And so Jesus proclaimed to us the truth in Matthew 25. And he said, get ready for this. He told us about the last judgment that will be occurring. This is depicted, if you've ever seen the Sistine Chapel, for example. I remember I visited that in Rome one time, and I stood there, and you go into this room, and Michelangelo's creation is up on the ceiling. Then you look at the sanctuary wall, and there depicted, Michelangelo tried his best, the great last judgment. Jesus there as the judge, beneath the damned, above those saved and in heaven. And in the Old Testament, we hear about the day of the Lord, a day of judgment, a day of decision. In the New Testament, from the book of Hebrews, we hear that we die once and then comes the judgment, very much discounting reincarnation, because I think some of you kind of believe in Jesus and you kind of believe in reincarnation. Well, that's not what the scripture teaches at all. There is no reincarnation. You die once and then comes the judgment. So this is what really matters. This is clear-cut teaching. Then in the book of Revelation, of course, we hear about the great white throne judgment when all the nations will be gathered. Think about it. All the billions of people right now as you watch this program, 7.6 billion people on the face of the earth, and every one of us will be at that great white throne judgment. We'll stand before Jesus as judge. And then all the people who have ever lived before us, the billions of people who have ever lived will be there. And then The billions of people that will live after us will be at that judgment. And so what Jesus was teaching is, you must be ready. Build your foundation on me that is the rock, and know that you are heading toward this judgment. So I remember the old missionaries used to preach heaven, hell, and death and judgment, and they call it the four last things. And maybe we need to bring that back, because people today are kind of getting wishy-washy because they don't know where they're heading. Well, I can tell you where we're heading, and this series is about all that matters, and that's why I'm choosing to talk about the judgment. I can tell you where you're heading. You're heading toward the judgment. And as a pastor of your soul, I want to make sure that you are ready. And I'm going to help you to get ready. The criteria for this judgment, if I read the whole parable, not even parable, the whole story in Matthew 25, was how you treat people. You remember that when you visit people in prison or the sick or those who are dying, you're visiting Jesus. And when you don't do that, you're not visiting Jesus. I have a friend of mine, his name is Charlie Wargle. I met him on a mission that I preached, and he gave his life to Christ. And he believes that he will stand before him one day in judgment. And because he gave his life to Christ and experienced salvation at the cross, he has changed his life, and he has dedicated his life to reaching out to other people. He used to be a General Motors executive. He lives up in Michigan and made a good living doing that. When he retired from GM, he got involved with a very loving organization called Habitat for Humanity. In fact, he became a director, a lay director, at no cost. They did not pay him any salary for Habitat for Humanity. He was an engineer, so he used to design cars. Now he started designing houses. This is an organization that reaches out to the poorest of the poor to help them to build their homes so that they'll have a place to live. He got involved with that. He worked with them for many years, building houses, helping people. Years ago, President Bush, when he was president, landed in Saginaw, Michigan. Charlie was voted Volunteer of the Year because of his outreach to so many people in so many different levels there in Saginaw, that actually the president, when he came off the plane, wasn't met with a political figure. The first person to meet the president off the plane was Charlie Wargle, my friend. He spent 3 minutes with President Bush at the bottom of the plane, talking to him about Habitat, getting to know the president a little bit. All the cameras were trained on them. And right before he was to leave, he shook the president's hand. And unbeknownst to everybody else, Charlie gave him something. And what he gave him was, I don't know if you've ever seen these, it's called a cross in your pocket. And he gave it to the president, and it had to do with announcing that we are saved by the cross of Christ. And later on, I said to Charlie, I said, Charlie, you're the only one I know that would ever evangelize the president of the United States. And he's like that because he believes in the cross. He believes that Jesus died for his sins. And really, that is the criteria for the last judgment, that we've accepted Jesus as our Lord. And because of that, we then want to love people and reach out to people. And that, Jesus said, everybody on the face of the earth is going to stand before him one day and be judged on our deeds. It's very, very important. I remember one time I was preaching at a church in Orlando, Florida, and I wanted to kind of wake the people up. The scripture that day had to do with judgment. And I said, you know, what can I do? I want to make sure that they get the intensity, how essential the judgment is, what really matters in life. So what I did is this: big crowded church, about 1,000 people. I processed in with a sign, and it said, the judgment is now. And I mean, people are like, what in the world is this? The judgment is now. Maybe you've seen people out in the streets says, the judgment is now, or, you know, get ready for the judgment, that kind of thing. That's what I did. I went right in the church with that, and I processed out with it. They may not have remembered what I said in my sermon, but they remembered that sign, that the judgment is now. And where did I get that? Well, not the sign itself. Where did I get that idea? I got it right from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has something called, here comes a theological term, get ready for this, learn this in the seminary, something called a realized eschatology. Eschatology has to do with the theology about the end times. A realized eschatology, and this is what the Gospel of John gives us, a realized eschatology tells us that the judgment is not only coming at the end of time, the judgment is coming now. And that's exactly what it says in the Gospel of John. For example, it'll say, the light has come into the world. This is the judgment, right from the Gospel of John. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people prefer darkness rather than the light. And then, of course, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in him wouldn't be condemned. And whoever does not believe is condemned for not believing in the Son of God. So in other words, in many different places in the Gospel of John, he gives us this theology that the judgment isn't only on the last day when Jesus comes again in glory, the great white throne judgment. It's even now. This is a realized eschatology. So it's by our choices and our decisions right now that we are determining our judgment. This is so crucial, and I hope you can understand this. And especially our choices regarding the passion, regarding the crucifix, regarding Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, remember what happened? They were a snake bit in the desert. Moses lifted up the serpent, and all who just looked at that serpent were healed. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes wouldn't perish but have eternal life. Just by looking, see, a crucifix is a symbol of the actual passion of Jesus. It's not the crucifix that has power, it's the passion of Jesus, which, by the way, every time we celebrate Mass in the Catholic Church, that's what we're celebrating, the once and for all death of Jesus on the cross. That's what Mass is. It's not a sacrifice over and over and over again. It's the once and for all sacrifice being renewed, being brought right into the present. So I'm inviting you just to simply believe, look at a crucifix, look at Jesus crucified, and believe. You see what I'm wearing here. This is my Passionist habit. I belong to a community. I could have joined the Franciscans or the Jesuits or the Dominicans or so many other religious communities in the Catholic Church. I decided to join the Passionists. We have a dedication to the Passion of Christ. We were founded by a Saint Paul Danio, Saint Paul of the Cross, who taught us to meditate on the Passion as a way of getting close to God. And by meditating upon the Passion and by proclaiming the Passion, people are saved. I wear on my heart, you'll see a heart with a cross above it, and the words are the Passion of Jesus Christ. This is my first vow. I'm doing it right now. I am proclaiming the Passion, and I meditate on the Passion on Good Friday, of course, on every Friday when Jesus has died. I walk the stations of the cross. I read the scriptures about the Passion. I think about Jesus crucified. We have a saying, may the Passion of our Lord be always in our hearts, because it's that Passion that saves us. Paul of the Cross said something that I really love. He said, look at a crucifix and let it preach you a sermon. Just look at a crucifix. Look at a cross. If you're not Catholic, just look at a cross and let it preach you a sermon. What will it say? I came to save you. I love you. I gave my life for you. Remember, he didn't send his son, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, rather that the world might be saved through him. So I wanted to share with you that the cross is crucial. The cross is the crux. I'm talking about what really matters. It's the cross that saves us from condemnation. And we're all heading toward the last judgment. And the judgment is now. Your decision, your choice about the cross determines everything. I really love Billy Graham. I watched Billy Graham growing up, and what I love about him was this. He would be there in a stadium full of people. And I thought to myself, you know, and he's preaching, and I thought to myself, if that was me preaching, you know me, I use a lot of stories and I use a lot of humor, and I try to get people engaged. there he is up in front of all these people, and he's talking about the cross. Just about every sermon that Billy Graham ever preached, he always talks about the cross. That's what Paul the Apostle did. Remember what he said? He said, I have determined to preach Christ and him crucified. You know what happened to Paul the Apostle? He went to Athens and he tried to preach about the resurrection. This is at the Areopagus. I've been to the Areopagus. It's in Athens. It's a place where they used to have meetings and philosophers would talk, and they would talk about all different things and new philosophies. And so Paul comes with this new philosophy about the resurrection, and really the sermon didn't really work. It's like they said, we'll hear you about this some other time. So now he goes to Corinth, Paul does, and he learned from his mistakes, and I've done the same thing in my preaching. You learn from your mistakes. And he said, I've decided to preach nothing among you except Christ and him crucified, because the resurrection is good and it's true, but it's the cross that saves. And the resurrection is the verification of the cross, the vindication of the cross. So Billy Graham would always preach about the cross, and I would look at him and I'd say, you know, this is not really engaging material, but yet thousands would come forward to make that decision for Christ as he made his altar call. And I thought to myself, there's power in the proclamation of the cross. Billy Graham put it this way, there's inbuilt power in the gospel. That's exactly what Paul the Apostle said. He said, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So there's power in the preached word. You don't even have to use a bunch of stories and all the other thing. The cross alone stands as a witness of the power of God. It's the judgment of God upon the world. I'm inviting you to make a new decision and a re-decision toward the cross. I want you to know that you are saved by the cross. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, I'm Catholic. You can't know that you're saved. Well, let me share this with you. Our Pope is Francis, and he's so quotable. He wrote an apostolic exhortation for young people. This is a great teaching in the church. And he called this apostolic exhortation, Christ Lives. In other words, Christ has been raised from the dead. And it's a pretty long exhortation. In the exhortation, one of the chapters, he talks about what's essential. In other words, you know what I'm doing here? This whole series is about what really matters. I've talked about the Holy Spirit. I've talked about giving your life to Christ. I talk about the cross and judgment. What really matters? I've talked about prayer. I'm trying to really give you what's essential. And the Pope, in this apostolic exhortation to young people, and as he put it, to all the people of God, he said, this is what's essential. Number one, Christ has been raised from the dead. That's why he named it Christ Lives. And then he said, God loves you. This is what's essential. And then the third thing, Christ came to save you. What does that tell me? Yes, as a Catholic, you can know salvation through the cross. I've experienced it. I want you to experience it. And even if you're not Catholic, you can experience it. Even if you're not going to church, you can experience it. I experienced it when I wasn't going to church, and then I came back to church. And that's simply making a decision for Jesus, that he died for me personally on the cross, that I can know eternal life. By the way, eternal life isn't just the quantity when we die. It's a new quality. It's called in the Greek, zoe life. Zoe means that quality of life that is God. That's eternal life. And so the Gospel of John says that you can know eternal life now. That's that realized eschatology. That you don't just have to wait till you die. And people say, how can you know that you're saved and on the way to heaven? Because you experience the Zoe life now. You have this new quality of life, not only the peace and the joy, but the presence of the Holy Spirit that is the beginning, Paul tells us, the foretaste, the guarantee, the down payment of eternal life. That's what salvation is, a relationship, the Zoe life, a relationship with the Holy Spirit that comes because Jesus died for us on the cross. Blood and water flowed out of his side. That's that washing, cleansing, new life that comes through the Holy Spirit. So the Pope said, I want to quote just a couple things. Christ came to save you. He said, Christ out of love sacrificed himself completely on the cross to save you. And then he said, look to the cross, cling to him, let Jesus save you. Keep your eyes fixed on the outstretched arms of the cross of Christ crucified and be saved. Wow. I hope you will focus on the passion of Jesus. When I experienced that as a young man, as a teenager, I said, this is what really matters. And I gave my life to this. I've been a priest now for 28 years, been preaching all around the United States, writing books, proclaiming on television and radio with all the energy that God inspires within me. I tell people to live with passion. You can't really have passion until you know the passion. When I talk about the passion, I'm talking about the sufferings of Jesus and that he passionately suffered for you and me. And wow, how that gives new life. So what really matters that we are going to be judged? What really matters that we are saved by the passion? And I'm hoping that you will make a new dedication to the passion. And I love, sometimes I'll walk the stations of the cross. First station of the cross, if you've ever seen it, Jesus is condemned. He stood before Pontius Pilate and he was condemned. That was my condemnation that he bore when he stood there before Pontius Pilate. He was innocent. He was blameless. The spotless lamb slain. But he stood there on my behalf. You must know this. For our transgressions he was wounded. He was bruised for our sins, it says in Isaiah 53. So he was condemned. And I love what it says in Romans 8:1. There is now, remember I'm talking about realized eschatology, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That is so good. No more condemnation, no more judgment, no more hell, no more misery. We have been justified, put right with God. We have been saved. We have eternal life in us now. We're on the way to eternal life. The judgment will simply be the verification, the ratification, the vindication of our lives as believers. And heaven awaits us. Eternal life will last forever with God in heaven, but it's already begun. As I said, it's that Zoe life, that new life that comes through the cross, the peace, the joy, the intimacy with God, the anointing with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to have that life. Some of you have been watching my program for years, and you don't know salvation. Well, I want you to make a decision, and that's just what it is. You simply decide that, yes, I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. Jesus, I believe that you suffered for me. Jesus, I believe that you went to the cross for me personally. And you just simply say, I give my heart to you. I wanted to share with you a song that I heard about from Carrie Underwood. Carrie Underwood, you know, she won American Idol, and she's a tremendous country western singer, sells out stadiums everywhere. And she sings a song about a woman who was in a car accident, and her car slid on black ice, and it spun out of control, and the back seat was her infant girl. And she sings, from now on, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand, because I can't do it on my own. I'm letting go. Can I invite you to have Jesus take the wheel of your life right now and to let go the best that you can? He will take charge of your life and he'll change you from the inside out. That's becoming a new creation. In fact, Paul says that in Galatians chapter 6. All that matters, and that's what we're talking about right now, all that matters is that you become a new creation. Ezekiel, Jeremiah prophesied this years ago when they said, I will take out of your heart that stony heart and give you a natural heart. You will know God. You will have a will toward God. And I want you to be born again and to be saved. So simply surrender the wheel of your heart to God. Take your hands off the wheel, and Jesus will guide your life and direct your life. I am so glad that you tuned into this special program, because I've talked about all that matters. And what matters? That you will be coming before God in judgment. But because of your decision, because of your surrender, you will be right with God and live with Him forever. And more than that, and in addition to that, you will have this new birth in your heart and know eternal life even now. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.